And I believe I said John 14, 26 and 27. Thank you, Miss Natalie. And we're going to be going to kind of be all over the place this morning, but I hope to make some type of sense as I'm sharing God's word. And then when we finish, we leave with instructions and a little clarity on how to navigate through life. Amen. You all look really good this morning. It's good to see you all. My mom is here this morning, and thank God for my mom being here. We just celebrated her birthday Monday of last week, and we were all over there. And when we got over there, all the food was gone, but that was okay. We still enjoyed hanging out with mom and having some cake. Amen. Thank God for, I always say the first person taught me about God was my mom. And so I thank God the little bit that she taught me was enough for God to work with. So parents, always remember, it's never in vain. And even if you think your kids aren't listening, they are listening. If you think they're not watching, they're watching. And I'm so glad that she gave me something so that when times got tough, that I knew God was always there. Amen. And who would have known it would have led to all this? But I thank Mom for that. Amen. Did I say John 14, 26 and 27? It says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Amen. So, friends and family, we've been this month or so, we've been dealing with the book of John. We've been dealing with 14, 26 and 27, the Holy Spirit leading, guiding and teaching us. That's why we have that prayer in the back of the bulletin. We've been asking the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, direct and teach us because that's the promise that Jesus gave us. He said after he would leave, he would send the Holy Spirit that would teach us. So it's someone's teaching you. That's we've discovered that somebody's teaching us. It could be the TV. It could be what we say. It could be Oprah and Ellen and Dr. Phil and Snapchat and Instagram and Facebook. But somebody's teaching you during the course of your week. Something is. And as children of God, the Holy Spirit should be the one that's teaching us. Nothing else. Oh, we get information from other places, CNN and all that. But that shouldn't be what's teaching you. That's information. That's not instruction on how to live. So John, he writes from the perspective, the book of John is written from the perspective. John is trying to show who Jesus Christ is. He's trying to show that Jesus Christ is God. That's his whole purpose of writing the book of John, to show you that Jesus Christ is God. So he does two comparisons. He talks about Jesus and he talks about the world. So he's saying you're being influenced by one or the other. Someone's influencing you every day. Two opposites. We know we can't serve two masters. You can't. You'll love one, you'll hate the other. You can make a note of that. That's in Matthew 6 and 24. You can't serve two. So that's why I'm challenging the congregation, the members of South Bay Abundant Life, every morning to get up and to, before you start your day, take 5 minutes, get up earlier and pray. And read that prayer that's on the back of the bulletin, in addition to anything else you want to add to it. And the scriptures are there. I put the scripture references so you can meditate on scriptures if you like. We're talking about life-changing stuff. Getting up. And remember, if you're too busy to get up and pray in the morning, then you are too busy. If you can't, and I'm going to challenge the youth as well. Youth, you all have, you can get up and read that prayer and pray that prayer as well. Youth, what are we talking? 12 and up, 10 or up, 8 and up. I'm challenging them as well. Get up a few minutes earlier, youth. When do you spend time to know about God? When do you wait? Do you wait till you get older, then you learn about God, or should you learn about God now? So I'm challenging the youth as well. Get up and take a few minutes to pray that prayer and watch God change your life. Ask for God's instruction. So if you don't want God to give you instruction, then where do you want to get your instruction from? That is the question. Someone will instruct you. So that's the challenge. It's amazing how in a world that God created, that nobody wants to talk about God. And then we would want to know more about the world. I mean, we even have sciences, earth science and life science to study the earth and study life. But no one wants to study the one who gave us life and who created the earth. Wow, that's powerful. Think about it. So I want to study the one who created everything. That's where I want to be at this morning. That's where I want to be at every morning. And I want to draw closer to God. I just don't want to come to church and go home and be the same. I think things are just too delicate and too dicey and too way out to come to church and go home and be the same. Those days are over, family. Those days are over. It's too much going on. So I'm going to pray every morning and I'm seeking God's face. So here's the key. I said praying and fasting. How many of you have not eaten yet? Let me see your hands. Yeah, there you are. See, we haven't eaten yet. So we're still fasting. So here at South Bay Abundant Life Church, we don't call an all church fast. I'm telling you, before you take your first meal, you're still fasting. So take that time and pray. Tap into the power of praying and fasting. Amen. That's where the power comes from. Now, it's amazing how we could go to work and we can get busy and just rush off to work and not eat. It'll be 3 o'clock. Man, I didn't eat anything. But the minute you call it a fast, you're breaking down. You can't get out the house. Man, I should get, you see the cookie right there and the cookie. No, you shouldn't have cookies for breakfast anyway. But you see a cookie, right? Man, I should eat the cookie. It just changes everything. So I'm not saying fast. I'm saying, see, because I had my last meal last night was 8 o'clock. And so from 8 to when I ate this morning, I was fasting. So I got up. I prayed. I prayed for you all. I prayed for myself. I prayed the prayer on the back of the bulletin. And I just prayed for a bunch of stuff. Took about 5 minutes. You can't give God 5 minutes. We have to really evaluate our relationship. I tell you, the days. Oh, what? By the way, happy friends and family. This is just how we just kind of challenge each other each week. And I'm telling you, if you want God to change your life, then start practicing prayer every morning. And watch God change your life. And if not, then hopefully one day you will get there where you say, see, it's just like anything else. And I got a couple of guys from the gym that I work out with. And we're going to pray for Cousins jump shot because it's a little bit off. But that's another story. But we know by going to the gym every week and practicing, you can see the difference. Am I right, cousin? See the difference. Because you practice. You can practice prayer and you can see your life change. I'm telling you, the way that the guys play in the morning, every morning for the past 10 years, Friday mornings playing ball. You can't take a month or 2 months off and come out there with the guys and expect to be on point. You're not gonna be able to compete with the guys that's out there every week. It's just not going to happen. So I'm saying we have to get into the habit of praying, because you're not going to be able to compete with the enemy and the world if you're not prayed up, if you're not focused, if you're not led by the Holy Spirit. Let me show you. Let's go to Mark chapter 9. Natalie, take us to Mark chapter 9. And we've studied this scripture before, and this is not even where I was going today, but I want to go there today. Mark 9 and 22. And here we go. We have a man who has a son with a mute spirit. It's kind of a violent spirit as well. Brings him to Jesus, and we pick up the story at verse. Let's pick it up at verse 21. Mark 9:21. If you're there, say amen. So Jesus asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, since he was an infant or if he was a child. And oftentimes the spirit had cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us. Underline compassion on us and help us. Wow. Notice he didn't say have compassion on the child. He said have compassion on us. How many of you have kids? How many of you ever seen a kid? Okay. All right. But parents, think about it. You know, when it affects your kid, it affects you. Men, here's the dad going to Jesus. Is this on? Men, here's the dad going to Jesus. He didn't say that's woman stuff, that's soft. Here's the dad going to Jesus on behalf of the child. And he's saying, man, Jesus, if you could just have compassion on us, because what affects our kids, and all parents know what affects your kids affect the whole family. He said, have compassion on us and help us. So our boy is in a bad situation. Jesus said unto him, if you can believe, he's telling somebody this morning, if you can believe, it says all things are possible to him that believe. Do you have enough faith to believe in Jesus this morning, that Jesus can work out your situation? Remember, we talk about Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. It's not Bigfoot or the Abominable Snowman or the Loch Ness Monster. He actually walked the earth. Remember, he split time in half. In a few months, we're going to say Happy New Year. Most people don't even know why it's a new year. Why are we in 2014? Because 2014 is going to be 2015. 2015 years ago, something happened that split time in half and it started over. Well, you tell people Happy New Year, they ask them, what makes it a new year? Because Jesus Christ split time. So it's not the idea that it happened. Yes, something happened. It just, as he told him right here in verse 23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that... Do you have enough faith this morning to believe that Jesus actually split time in half? That's between you and God. But then look what he said. And straightway, the father of the child cried out. Men, it's okay to cry out on behalf of your kids. Somebody say amen. Amen. Moms, you all do it naturally. As you're praying for the husbands, too, and the fathers, you praying for us and the kid, and men, we're out somewhere, who knows? But right here, the man, he's crying out, and with tears. Men, when was the last time you actually got down and prayed and cried out and cried for your kids or your grandkids? See, that's why this isn't just a prayer. It's something that you make a habit of. If you want to see real change in your life, then you have to do real action. That's it. This is real. You have to put it to the test. You can't say I went to the gym for a week and it didn't work. It never does. I ate right for a week and look at me. It doesn't work. No, it doesn't work like that. When you get serious with Jesus, you'll see the difference. And it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's something you do over the rest of your life. Verse 24 again. And straightway, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. That's a real prayer right there. God, I believe you can do it, but I'm struggling right now. Help me with the part I'm struggling with. God, I believe you can repair my marriage and bring my kids back home. I believe you can open doors, but God, I'm struggling right now. Help me to see it. I believe, but I need some help. I'm struggling. That's real prayer, folks. That's the prayer. If you don't do anything, but pray that in the morning. For the next 7 days, watch God show himself strong in your life. Verse 25, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. So he's saying, get out and don't come back. Somebody, you need to tell some foul spirits in your life that. You really do. You got to tell some people. Sometimes you got to let them know, you know what? We're done, and that's it. No, don't come back. Don't call. Delete them from Facebook or Snapchat or Instagram. It's over. I don't even know if my mic working this morning? I'm really trying to. There's some people we just need to delete. And say, don't come back. No, this is not happening. And the spirit cried out and rent him some more. Yeah, those spirits don't want to go away. Oh, they're going to call back and they're going to say, you know, I changed and this and that and that and this. You just say, you know what? I'm done. Look what it said. It came out of him and he was one as was dead. Yeah, there's some people you just need to just, you know, they kind of don't exist. We're just at the point where, hey, God bless you from afar, but as far as I'm concerned, this is done. I mean, like to the point where it's dead, not non-existent. We're talking about real change, folks. Real change. But then look what happens. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And here's where I was trying to go. All that was just kind of like an intro. This is where I was trying to go. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately. They kind of took him to the side and said, why couldn't we? We tried everything. She said, no, actually, you didn't. And verse 29 is the kicker. And he said unto them, this kind, underline this kind. Fam, if you're going after this kind, that stuff, that addiction, that struggle, that deliverance, that vice, that habit, this kind only comes out but by prayer and fasting. And see, we don't realize, those of you who haven't even eaten this morning, you're still fasting. You can be calling on this kind. God, I'm going after this kind right now while I'm still praying and fasting before I eat. Lord, I'm calling on it. Delete it. Give me the strength to get through it. Holy Spirit, teach me. Give me wisdom. Give me discernment on how to get out or to get through this situation, this circumstance. I need your power. Give me insight, God. I need to know what to say, what to do, how to act, how to cut this out. That's real power. That's real change. I'm talking 7 days. This kind, that's the only way you're going to get rid of this kind. That's what he told me. This kind is it's a doozy. That's why we've been dealing with it for years. How to always hook up with this kind of guy, this kind of girl. How to all that kind? I can't believe it. Because you've been dealing with it. You haven't gone after it with the power of God. Because deep down, your flesh likes that kind. But the power of God said, no, that's not good for you. And so I don't want real change. I just want to talk about it. I really don't want to change. I just like to talk about it, Sister Washington. Just, you know, make noise about it. And then go right back to that kind. As opposed to praying and fasting and getting serious with God. This time. Not, it shouldn't be this kind. It should be this time. All right. That's why I'm challenging the church to pray and to fast. I've been in churches before and I'm cool with it. And they have they'll have an all week fast. You know, I'm not trying to fast for all week. I like to eat. OK, seriously, 21 day fast, the Daniel fast. You know what? Hey, what I'm going to do, I'm going to wake up every morning. So I don't want it to be just for a week. I'm creating a pattern for a lifetime, for a habit. I'm praying and fasting every morning. I'm taking 5 minutes, 10 minutes, depending on how much time I have, but that's every morning. And then you see your life change. That's the challenge. And you can do that. You, number one, you thank God. How many of you got up this morning? Right, obvious, right, because you're here, right? If you didn't get up, you wouldn't be here, right? All you need, right, unless you're dreaming, right? Right, Brother Don? Yeah. You could have took 3 minutes. You could have took 5 minutes before you ate. that donut that you didn't need. You could have took a few minutes and just called on the power of God of praying and fasting through the Holy Spirit every morning. What's that habit? Coach knows. Tony knows. And son knows. I mean, they played ball. You practice. You got better. And God set it up that if we practice, we can get, our lives can get better. We can get closer to God. And this is the whole key. You want your relationship to be as tight as possible with God. Not with the church. Not with the pastor, but with God. That's where all the answers are. You take all your questions to God because he has all the answers. And sometimes he'll tell you, not now. He'll tell you, deal with it. Get through it. You know what to do. Do it. You haven't been praying. You haven't been fasting. You haven't been reading. Get back to the basics. My guys know who's in the military. You got drilled and drilled. They just didn't send you out to war. You went to basic training. We're the only soldiers that go out to war with no training. I ain't going to pray. I ain't going to fast. I'm going to just go deal with these devils just like this. I'm cool. I'm from L.A. They don't know me. Yeah, you get that. No training at all. Getting your butt kicked every day. On the job, getting your head bashed in. Going to work to deal with all that foolishness with no prayer and no fasting, no insight, no direction. And wondering why am I frustrated every day. All right, I want to take, let's go back to John. I just want to show you a couple more scriptures. Let's look at, we looked at this one last week, but I want to bring it home. I want you to see it. John 16:33. This scripture was so powerful last week, God's put it back on my heart. John 16:33. If you're there, say amen. 16:33, here's Jesus speaking. He's saying, these things have I spoken unto you that in me, somebody, you should have that underlined or highlighted, that in Jesus you might have peace. And then here's John doing a comparison. In the world, okay, I'm sorry, I should have defined the world. The world is the orderly system of deception. That's what it's translated into in the Greek. And we look like, we think it's just a big hodgepodge of chaos with so much going on. Watch the news, you'll be like, oh man, it's gone. But it's an orderly system of deception created to keep you from focusing and getting close to God. It's a whole orderly system of deception. See, that's why John and Jesus saying right here. Jesus, verse 33, these things have I spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. But in the world, you shall have tribulation. We broke that word tribulation down. You're going to have anguish and burden and persecution, trouble, pressure, affliction, distress, and straits. You're going to have to deal with some stuff. Don't let anybody lie to you saying that serving God is easy. Or that you accept Christ and all your problems go away. That's not true. Jesus is saying as long as you're in me, you have peace. But when you get back in the world and if you leave me and go to the world, you're going to have tribulation. And even in me, you're going to have the tribulation, but it's not going to affect you because you're in me, because he says, but be of good cheer, be encouraged. I've overcome the world. So when we're in Christ, we'll overcome our situations and our challenges because he's already overcome them. He's already done the work. So as long as you're in him, you're going to get through it. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
What's the saying? If you're going through hell in your life right now, don't stop. Just get through it. Don't stop there. Keep going. And that's what Christ is saying. If you're going through situations now, in me, you're going to overcome it because I've already overcome it. I've already done the work. But you got to be in me. Outside of me, then you got to do it yourself. And the tribulation is going to confuse you. And you're going to think that God has left you. But he said, no, I'm always here. You've gotten outside of me. You've gotten distracted. All right. Let's go to Romans. 8. Romans 8 and 6. We're kind of going a little deep. We're not going to try and get complicated, though. That's our motto. We go deep, but not complicated. We try not to make it complicated. Amen. But we have to go. We got to go a little deep, family and friends. That's a Romans 8 and 6. OK, so Romans 8 and 6, it is Paul talking. He's talking to the Romans that are Christians. He's trying to show the difference as well. In verse 6, he said to be carnally minded, to be fleshly minded, to be worldly minded is death. So if you're so into the world, you're separated from God. And that is the ultimate death, to be separated from God. He says, but to be spiritually minded, to be led by the Holy Spirit is life. And what else? So as the old folks say, you got to get your mind right. And that's what Paul talks about in 12, 1 and 2. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But here's the situation again. Either I'm going to be led by God or I'm going to be led by my flesh. Verse 7, he says, because the carnal fleshly mind is an enemy against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. He's saying, so when you out there, you doing your own thing, you're an enemy to God. You don't care about God. Just ask anybody who doesn't care about God. They don't care. Get out of my face with that stuff. Amen. Some of us were like that, too. If we want to be honest, amen. I remember I didn't want, man, you get out of my face. I didn't want to hear that stuff. That's why. Dude's like, man, you became a pastor, dude. That's hilarious. I know. It's the power of God. It's hilarious to me, too, because I didn't want to hear nothing. I had all the excuses. I hid behind them, all that stuff. But he's saying you can't be subject to the laws of God because you don't care about God. And then look how subtle society is. And that's why we talked about it a little bit last week. That's why they don't want you to take God out of the Pledge of Allegiance. They took God out of school. They want the Ten Commandments down from the walls of Congress. And I remember going to school when it was Christmas vacation. Anybody remember that? We got in December. We went out for Christmas vacation. Now it's winter recess. They don't care about God. Get him out. And it was so subtle, nobody even noticed it. No, it wasn't even a fuss. They just switched from Christmas vacation to winter recess. And then we switched from Easter vacation to spring break. They don't. It's an enemy with God. When they don't care about God, they don't want to hear nothing about God. I was at a school and it was, and I know some of us, I know Brother Richard and some of the other you all are in education, but I was at a school last week and I wasn't taken back because I know what's going on, but I'm walking through the halls from the classroom to the bathroom and I see on the wall they got a witch and some skulls and a tombstone. And I got to see this stuff in school on the walls. I wonder what would happen at Christmas time if we put a cross up there, an empty tomb, with our Christmas tree. See, somebody's going to be offended. Oh, you got to take that down. You can't talk about. But so you can talk about skulls and witches and goblins and ghouls. But that's the enemy of God. That's why Jesus told you can't serve two masters. You can't be both. You're not going to be committed to either one. And I'm not saying don't celebrate Halloween or the Harvest Festival. I'm not saying it. I'm just saying just be aware of what's going on. Just be aware of what's going on. He says, and look at verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. It's just impossible. If you're not led by the Spirit, you're not pleasing God. If you're doing your own thing, there's no way you can please God. And so we try not to to fool ourselves or sugarcoat it to make us think that we are. When he says he leaves us peace, the peace defined in the Greek is contentment, which is to be independent of external circumstances. So the peace that God gives you, it is independent of external circumstances. So you don't need something else to have peace. It comes from God. You don't need to be somewhere else to have peace. It's independent of external circumstances. So remember, that's the difference with the peace of God. Let's one last scripture, and then we'll go ahead and close out. If we can, let's get to Philippians. If you would, turn with me to Philippians 4. The second half of John 14, 27 said, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." It started off by saying, "Peace I give unto you. My peace I give. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid." So then I guess the question is, this morning, what are you afraid of, or what's troubling your heart? Somebody say, man. Somebody think about what. Somebody say, man. What is troubling you this morning? What has your heart? Because Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid, because in me you'll have peace." So family, the challenge is to let's get in Jesus, let's get in Christ, so that we can experience the peace. That's why I'm challenging you again to wake up and spend time with Him, because I was taught if you love something, you spend time with it. Amen. For those of us that are married, you mean you just get up and your wife say, "Hey, can I have a word with you?" Say, "No, I got to go." And you just run out the house. "Can I have a hug and a kiss?" "No, I got to get out of here. I got to get to work. I got to catch this traffic. So it'll be a monster." And you try that for 7 days. See how that relationship goes. That's an abnormal relationship. Why do we have an abnormal relationship with God and then get mad at God? Tell me that. How do you have the abnormal relationship with God and now you're mad at God? But you're the one rushing. You can't even give God a hug and a kiss in the morning. Can't even tell Him you love Him. And husbands say, "Amen." We know we'd be in trouble. That's why some of y'all in trouble now. And you got to make a habit of it. So here we go. That's 8, Philippians 4 and 6. And so we said, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid." It's not enough, family, and I'm telling you, it's not enough that we got to deal with cancer and HIV and the bird flu and what was the other one? West Nile, and now we got Ebola. I mean, gosh, darn. We were at the Taste of Soul. We went. There was a lot of people there, and I'm like, "Man, I hope nobody got Ebola." Man, we got off the little shuttle, and it was all those people like, "Honey, let's go right back to the car and get out of here, okay?" Man, give us something else to worry about, all right? Man. So here we go, 4 and 6. Paul is saying, "Be careful or be anxious for nothing. But in everything," somebody say everything. Thank you, Sister Kathy. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication," prayer and petition, "with," come on, you got to be thankful. "Let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds." How? It's a mouthful. It says, just stop being anxious. Stop being having panic attacks. Don't do that for nothing. "But in everything, prayer and supplications, prayer and petition." And those of us that's been in school and you couldn't get a class, they say you got to petition that class. And you write that paper and you go and you tell the professor, "I need this class. I got to graduate. It's the last one. I can't get out if I don't get it." And you keep talking to him. He say, "Okay, I'm going to let you in." And that's what I'm saying. You need to talk to God like that. God, I'm dealing with this. I'm trying to get over it. God, I need help. I need help. Trying to change my life. I've been trying, God, but I need your help. I need your help. I need your help. But with thanksgiving. And that thanksgiving translated into Greek is grateful language. So you're not fussing and cussing and complaining to God. You have grateful language. Amen. It's the way to do it. That's why the prayer is so important. And it says, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, the contentment of God, the peace that God brings that's independent of external circumstances, which passes all understanding. How can you be going through that and you have peace? Because God and the Holy Spirit, that's why, because I'm in Christ. Because it passes all understanding. You can't comprehend how God will says keep, and that means guard your heart and your mind. Family, you know we need our hearts and guards. Our hearts and minds guarded. You need to pray that for your kids. For all of us that have kids. God, guard their heart and mind. When they're at school and they're hanging out with those other kids, not like your kid is not the, what if when your kid is the other kid, all right? So when your kid is the other kid, are they hanging out with the other kids? God, guard their heart and their mind. You got these smartphones, they want to show your kid, hey man, look at this. You don't want your sons hooked on pornography. But you got kids, hey man, look at this. God, guard their heart, and they don't need to keep them away from those losers. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Excuse me for being honest. Amen.
Amen.
It's too much out there. That's why the prayer is so important. Through Christ Jesus, he guards our heart and he guards our mind. It's the prayer. But we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be anxious. And verse 8, he talks about, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true and things are honest and things are just and pure and things are lovely and of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, meditate on these things. So now, how do I control? Well, I think of things that are pure and just and true and honest and lovely. And I meditate on those things. I meditate on God's word. And that's all the part of the whole prayer. And I'm telling you, take 5 minutes a day. At least. It's just a challenge. What it say? If we do what we've always done, we're going to get what we've always gotten. And we just have to decide, you know, where are we at this morning? Sometimes, you know, until you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And you can't try God for a week. It doesn't work like that. You can't work out for a week. You can't eat right for a week and expect to see results. You got to be committed. It's a whole nother part of the message, but we have to stop here. Amen.
Amen.
We have the other church that's coming in just a few minutes, but I want to go ahead and pray right now. So I just want us to just kind of, hey, just let God speak to your heart. And friends and family upstairs immediately following, we have food for you all, catered food, just beautiful food. We want to hang out and spend some time with you today. So we truly believe that a church is a place of refuge, a sanctuary. That's why we don't have games and tricks and gimmicks and drama. We just come with the word of God and the love of God. That's why we take time in the midst of our service to say hello and greet someone. You don't know what someone's going through. God set up his church to be the hospital for those that need help. You don't have to get it all together to come to church. That's what the trick of the enemy says. You got to have it together. They're going to look at you and know you don't have. Nobody has it together. Newsflash. We're all here to encourage one another. I thank God for this beautiful church and the family and the love that's here. How do we do it? We just seek God every day and love on his people. Forgive and live.
Amen.
Trust and believe. God, help my unbelief. I'm struggling a little bit right now, but God, I know you can do all things. Committed to praying and fasting. I want to see a change in my life. I don't want to be the same. I really want to know if I can know you. I would hate to have not tried to draw close to you and then realize I could have. What am I missing by not getting closer to you, God? I don't want to miss any more that I've already missed. Yes, I've been distracted by the world and other circumstances, but God, I want to get back in you. So maybe you hear you say, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I've been to church before, but I've never really made Jesus a priority. I've never accepted him into my heart. But this morning, I want to get in Christ. Matter of fact, I want to get him in my heart so then I can get in him. If that's you, I'd love to pray for you and pray with you. Elevate your hand if you've never accepted Christ and you want to accept Christ this morning. Maybe you're hearing you say, Pastor, I just need to rededicate my life. I need to get back on the right track. Oh, I've been way out, Pastor. And I'm realizing I gotta bring it all the way back. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you're here and you're looking for a church home and you say, Pastor, finally a place that teaches the word, that loves God, and I feel the love of God in this place. You say, Pastor, I love to find out my purpose and my method and my ministry in God. I believe I can do that here. If that's you, elevate your hand. We'd love to be part of your process that God is taking you through. Lord, how we thank you. We bless you. We love you. I'm going to ask those who elevated their hands for either rededication or joining a church. I'm going to ask you to just come on up real quickly. We want to pray with you and pray for you. I'm going to ask some of the ladies in the church, God bless you, and some of the men in the church to come up and let's just surround them for rededication, salvation. Amen. Let's bow our heads really quickly. Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you love us enough to set up a day where we can come and get reconnected with you. Be reminded you've never left us, you've never forsaken us. It's to the contrary, Lord, that we kind of lost our way. That's okay, God, because you've always been waiting with open arms, just like the prodigal son. You've always been there. You've been looking, you've been waiting. And so, God, we thank you and we bless you. Your word says, we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. You've told us to come and get cleansed and then go and sin no more. So God, we want to follow the unction of your Holy Spirit. We want to accept your challenge to pray and to draw closer to you. So I thank you for those who've come up for rededication to join the church, Lord, and we know that the rededication has already taken place in the heart because it comes from you, not from us. We're surrounding them because we're letting them know just like your love surrounds them, we surround them. And we love them just like you love them. Oh, we don't judge and cast blame, God. We know that we all have struggles and unbelief. So we surround and say, we're here to help. We're here to love. We're here to be a part of the process of growing closer to God. So we thank you, Lord. We bless you. We love you. Pray for a spirit of rededication and revival to sweep through this place. From the youngest to the oldest, Lord. Let us all walk out of here knowing that we could do so much better for you. We recognize there's none like you and nothing too hard for you. We love you, Lord. We thank you. Jesus, thank you for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you for dying on the cross and shedding your blood for us. Thank you for the free gift that is salvation. We receive it now. Rededication. We haven't lost our salvation. We just lost fellowship. Thank you that we're back in fellowship with you. Thank you that you said you'll never leave us or forsake us. Thank you for raising on that third day, Lord, splitting time in half. Thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. We bless you, Lord. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Stand to your feet. Give someone a hug and you are dismissed. Amen.
I got my job with the county, Uncle Jesse.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And pass the card.
Please go right upstairs. Please go right upstairs for food and fellowship.
Man, Pastor, this has been my brother since seventh grade, man.
Excellent, man. Bless you, man.
Hope you start coming here, bro.
And you're in Long Beach? Give me your name again.
Sam.
Sam?
We're going to
get your information.
Together.
And then you went to Millikan after that, too?
Yeah.
I used to teach at Millikan 100 years ago, man. make sure we're Sister Kathy. Yeah. We're going to, you coming upstairs for food and everything?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to get your information up there. And we got a lot of good brothers here, man.
Girl,
so
surprised,
glad to have you, Sam. All right.
Yeah.
No more long.
Just walk around. He has your back.
Hey, but that's cool, man.
Pastor, I'm going to call you.
Okay.
So you said you wanted to talk to
me? Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you for helping out with the youth.
Got it.
And that's part of the vision. So let's keep that going.
Got it.
In the midst of everything else that God is doing. Amen.
Yes. I'll be there.
I love you. I appreciate you, Brandy.
You got me.
Okay. Thank you,
I'm
honey.
I'm here.
All right. Hey, Rosie, what's happening?
All right, you got it, Bert?
Amen. I'll see you guys upstairs tomorrow.